Acts 29. Just a sneak preview of next Sunday, again, where we're going to be here at Wiley. My last sermon at Wiley is going to be called The Labor of the Spirit. And so just kind of an interesting note is we've been in this series for 13 weeks, and we've covered a ton of ground, but as I was going through like the series arc and the topic arc, I realized we missed a very key topic in a 13-week series that's been about the Holy Spirit. And it's something that was pretty obvious, and oftentimes you miss the most obvious things. But I felt like as we wind this down, let's spend a sermon talking about why the Holy Spirit is not just called the Spirit. Because that could have been the way he's described, Father, Son, and Spirit. But in the Scriptures, it's not that way. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what's the big deal about that? Why does it matter that the Spirit is not just the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean in the Holy Spirit's work to transform us to be like him? In other words, to be holy, but that doesn't mean to be like a Pharisee. It means to be conformed to the image of Christ, who is perfect in his holiness. So that's what we talk about next weekend. And so if y'all have cottages, enjoy them up north. We do not have one. I'll be teaching. So please join me here at Wiley for one last time. And then on September 10th, we'll be launching a new series. So I'm calling that one a standalone sermon. And today I'm calling the final series of Acts 29. And we've been in this series looking at the book of Acts, not as just the book of Acts of the Apostles, but as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm hoping that as you're over the series, you've been beginning to read the Bible in a different light, seeing it just not as a book of history, but as a book of testimonies. That you look at that and say, you know what God did back then, God wants to do again in our day. That the Holy Spirit has not lost any of his power over the past 2,000 years. So you read this book, not as a book of history, but as a book of testimony. And today, because it's the final sermon of the series, I want to jump ahead. We've been in like Acts 1, 2, and 3, and we'll just press the pause button on that. Maybe we'll pick up Acts later on. But I want to jump ahead today to chapter 16 of the book of Acts. This is one of those chapters of the Bible that you could read right past and not realize the pivotal events that happened in this chapter that actually shaped our country. That's why I titled my sermon, How the Holy Spirit Changed America. It's actually rooted in Acts chapter 16. And every once in a while when I do sermons, I like to ask what-if questions. I'll teach the scripture as it occurred. This is what the history was. And then I want to ask, well, what if? What if the Apostle Paul did things differently? What if the Apostle Paul treated the Holy Spirit sometimes like I treat the Holy Spirit, as the forgotten member of the Trinity? What if the Apostle Paul was not led or empowered by the Holy Spirit? How would things have been different? And how can we learn to live more empowered and filled and led by the Holy Spirit? Not just some of the time, not just once in a while, but all the time. So I want to start off in this chapter, in the Bible, as it happened in history, see how the Holy Spirit was at work, see how he was at work and influenced things, and then ask the what-if question. What if Acts 16 was without the Holy Spirit? So we're going to start, as it states in the Bible, and I'm back in the NIV translation today. Verse 1. Paul came to Derbe, then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish, and a believer whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the things made by the apostles, elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. All of the things that came down in the early church. Let's communicate. The churches, as a result of hearing what Timothy and Paul said, were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. So I threw a lot of cities at you. Here's a map just to show you where they're at. We're going to start off here. Paul leaves Tarsus, he goes to Derbe and Lystra. This is modern-day Turkey, right? So all of Asia's this way, and then here is Greece and all of Europe this way. The red line actually shows the journey that Paul was on in his third trip around that region. And it's a pivotal chapter in the early church. Again, it's where Paul meets Timothy. Paul and Timothy become a great team. It says in verses 4 and 5, they traveled, and we could see that on the red line, they traveled from town to town. The churches were strengthened in faith, and they grew daily in numbers. And in the rest of the New Testament, you see that Paul mentors Timothy. In fact, he writes two letters to him, 1 and 2 Timothy, exist in our Bibles because of the relationship between Paul and Timothy. And then you see, if you read those letters, how Paul not only mentors him, but he empowers Timothy to appoint elders in Ephesus, to refute false teaching, to preach the gospel. So Paul, in many ways, multiplies himself. Paul multiplies his efforts through Timothy. Timothy's name appears 30 times in the New Testament. It starts here in chapter 16 of Acts. So even though, as we read those verses, the phrase the Holy Spirit was not mentioned explicitly in those verses, I like this passage because it shows how the Holy Spirit often works. He often works behind the scenes, orchestrating events, leading and guiding. I don't believe it was any coincidence at all that Paul and Timothy met. It wasn't by chance. It was not like God's up in heaven looking down. He sees Paul meet Timothy and goes, man, they'd be a pretty great team. I don't believe there's any such thing as a coincidence. What people call coincidence, I call the Holy Spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. Sometimes he is overt, but sometimes he is covert behind the scenes in the background. And that, I believe, is what's going on here. Let's continue on in Acts chapter 16, in verse 6. Paul and his companions, they travel throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus, which is another way of saying the Holy Spirit, would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul had seen the vision, and we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now again, lots of cities, lots of regions mentioned, so I want to go back to our map and just show you what's going on here. So here's the map. So they're over here in traveling up, and they want to go this way to Bithynia, to Phrygia. They want to go this way, but it says the Holy Spirit kept them. So they travel more this way. They try to go again into Mysia, travel east, and the Holy Spirit stops them again, and so they end up in Troas. He gets a vision over in Greece and Macedonia, and so that's where the red line continues. It doesn't go east. They tried a few times to go east. They got blocked by the Holy Spirit, so they end up traveling west into the European continent, the European mainland. So they end up heading west instead of east, in the opposite direction. And what I find interesting is that Paul said he wanted to go east, which is this way. I'm going to point this way. He wanted to go east. It's kind of hard to do that when you're like, go to my right, your left. It says they tried to go east two different times, but both times the Holy Spirit would not allow them or kept them from going into Asia. And so this is one of those passages where commentators, scholars, have a field day because the text doesn't say how the Holy Spirit did that. So there's lots of speculation. We don't know, but maybe it was a closed door, and it could be, it's kind of a joke, but it's not. Like maybe all the camels they wanted to rent, they wanted to head east, and the only camels they're allowed to rent was they wanted to give to a drop-off point going west. We don't know. It could have been just this nudge in his gut. I'm praying about it. God, I feel like I want to go east. Man, I just feel like I shouldn't. And so you stop. Like, we don't know. But then finally, he has a vision to head west into Macedonia. And the rest of Acts chapter 16 is influenced by that decision. All the events in Acts chapter 16 and beyond are influenced by this, the pivot points, a hinge of history. And so I want to ask the question and say, okay, well, that's the way the text happened, but what if things were different? What if the Apostle Paul treated the Holy Spirit as the forgotten member of the Trinity? What if he wasn't Spirit-led? What if he wasn't tuned into the Spirit's leading? How might chapter 16 of Acts be different if Paul said, hey, I got this, God. Do everything on my own. My strength, my power. So this is a what-if scenario. Let's go back to verses 1 through 5. How it happened in history, it says, Paul came to Derbe, then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. So I'm just asking a question. How might these events have played out differently if Paul was not Spirit-led? Paul would have probably still met Timothy. As it says in verse 1, verse 2 would have happened. It says the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. They spoke well of him. But I believe that verse 3 and beyond would have been very different. If the Holy Spirit was not part of Paul's life, verse 3, where it says, well, Paul wanted to take him along on a journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area. If Paul was not in tune with the Holy Spirit, he very well may not have chosen to mentor Timothy. Instead, they could have met, had a passing conversation. Paul would have left and went on his way. Now, on the positive side for Timothy, he would not have had to have an outpatient procedure surgically there. But on the negative side, the church would have lost an early leader. Timothy would have been left on the sidelines. Instead of hearing about Timothy 30 more times in the Bible, we would have heard his name only once, right here, and that would have been it. And our Bible wouldn't have had two books in it that it does. And the Apostle Paul would have been overloaded in ministry, trying to do too much for the kingdom instead of multiplying himself through a young disciple, a young man named Timothy. So without the Holy Spirit, things would have been much different in Acts 16. But I want to get to the title of my sermon, because it wouldn't have just been this guy named Timothy we would have not ever heard of. I believe we would not actually even be here. And let me explain. Again, what if Paul treated the Spirit as a forgotten member of the Trinity? What if he was not Spirit-led? Again, how history happened, verse 6. It says, Paul and his companions, they traveled throughout the regions of Galatia and Phrygia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So it says they were kept from heading east. So they come to the border of Mysia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia. They went down to Troas. Then he has the vision of the man from Macedonia. So they try to go east two different times. The Holy Spirit keeps them, so they end up going west into Macedonia. And so what if Paul was not kept by the Holy Spirit from heading east into Asia? And again, there's a lot of speculation about how the Holy Spirit kept him from doing that, because Paul still had free will. Paul still had free will. So it's not like God turned him into a robot at that point. Now, when I was going out to seminary, and this again is one of those things where you're reading your Bible, you read the book of Acts, you could blow right past this chapter. So a church history professor of mine, Ray Albrechtson, great guy, he's talking about this, and he says, this is a hinge of history moment. This is pivotal. The events of Acts 16, even if you're not a churchgoer, you don't believe in Jesus, whatever, these are pivotal for how the shape of the world and the face of the countries of the world were laid out from these decisions in Acts 16. He said, when Paul headed west into Macedonia, meaning he entered the mainland European continent, the rest of Paul's journeys were about bringing the gospel of Jesus into Europe, to places like Rome and Athens, and even desiring to go to Spain. And so all the churches that Paul planted, all the books we read in our New Testament, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, the whole deal, are churches that he planted in Europe. that made and shaped Europe into a Christian continent. Churches that Paul planted helped spread the gospel to England, to Germany, to the rest of the European mainland. What Paul did was establish a beachhead, if you will, for Christianity on the entire continent of Europe. And that has direct impact on America, because in 1492, Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue, right? That's as far as I'm going to sing, Tony, by the way, if you're here. He sang a few. Kind of. But Christopher Columbus, he was the Christ bearer. He did it under a Christian flag. Why? Because of seeds the Apostle Paul planted. When the pilgrims left England for America and they settled the 13 colonies, they were Christian. They wanted to break away from the Church of England for religious freedom. And those are just a few of the effects of Paul heading west into Europe instead of east into Asia. So historians speculate that if Paul went east into Asia instead of west, the world, the map of the world would look very different. Europe would have never been Christianized to the extent that it was, which means America very likely would not have been founded the way it was, which means we may very well not be here today. Here's the thing about it. It's wordy, the grammar's wrong, but it's the best I could do to get on a slide. If Paul headed east into Asia instead of west into Europe, Europe never Christianized, Columbus not the Christ bearer, no Christian pilgrims coming to America, no founding fathers who embraced Jesus as Lord. All because of Acts 16. All because of Paul being kept and not allowed by the Holy Spirit to go east, but instead going west. Which is pretty cool. So if Paul was not Spirit-led, if the Holy Spirit was the forgotten member of the Trinity, things have been very different. Not just for Paul, not just for the way our Bible shaped up, but for us, for our country. So I want to give you, again, that's our passage, some action steps. Because ultimately this passage, and every time I teach, I'm like, okay, the Bible is our guidebook for now. It's not just a history book. So this sermon isn't ultimately about Paul. It's not ultimately about, wow, some pretty cool history, Dan. Let me write that down and post it on Facebook and maybe tweet it. Although, feel free to do so. Invite them to join you at church. But ultimately, this sermon is not about the Apostle Paul and how the Holy Spirit led the Apostle Paul. The sermon is about you and how the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. So here are some questions for reflection. Action steps. First one is this. Have you ever blamed the devil when you should have thanked God? Now, by the way, I'm going to, like, just toss some grenades here. And ultimately, the answers to these, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit as you answer these questions. Because externally, if you say, you know, people come up to me, hey, Dan, well, how does these events happen? And did I hear God wrong? That'd be really hard for me to discern unless God gives me a word for you. But you need to take this to prayer. And as you think back through your life, as maybe you're making a choice, a decision right now, you need to ask for discernment from the Holy Spirit to give to you. So here we go. Have you ever blamed the devil when you should have thanked God? This is in your past in history, where you had an important decision to make and you thought you knew what God's will was. You began to head in one direction, but then you encountered roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and initially you thought the devil was out to get you and derail you. But as you've reflected on it, as you've thought about it more, you realize, you know what, that wasn't the devil, that was actually the Holy Spirit, just like with Paul in Acts 16. See, the truth is, this is where it gets tricky, because we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil does that. He tries to derail us, and sometimes he succeeds. He tries to discourage us. Sometimes he succeeds. There is a battle, a spiritual battle, that is real as any of the battles or any of the fights you see on TV. as real as that. But as followers of Jesus, sometimes we blame the devil and we give him too much credit. Sometimes we blame the devil from giving us a roadblock when in fact it's God trying to protect us from making a bad decision. And so just to think about that, I don't want to reframe your entire story, your entire spiritual journey right now, but just to say maybe there's an event that you're like, man, I always thought that was the devil. Maybe that was God. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit. Back in college, there was a song by Garth Brooks called Unanswered Prayers. Now, I was not a country fan of music. If it was not Van Halen or Metallica, it was not in my CD player back then. But there's a line in that song, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers, and that's true some of the time. Not all the time, but some of the time. Sometimes looking back years later on a key event in your life, we've been blaming the devil for it. We should say, you know what? God, I think that was you. And again, pray about that one. Next question piggybacks off the first one. This is a current question. Are you trying to head east right now when the Holy Spirit wants you to go west? And this does not have anything to do with our move to Evanswood, by the way. I know that's more west and got that. It's kind of worked out that way. But have you been trying and trying to do something and you've hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock? And maybe right now there's an event that's come on your mind because we believe God still speaks today. And he's revealing to you that you've been trying to head east when the Holy Spirit's trying to get you to go west. Whatever your east and west are in quotation marks, right? You got that. It's not geography here. And again, if I'm saying something and there's something popping in your mind right now, maybe something surprised you, maybe it's not. Maybe it's confirming something. Take some time and take it to Jesus. Have a conversation with God about it. A great prayer to pray right from the Old Testament. Here's a prayer as part of this action step. It's from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Just to turn that into a prayer and say, God, I need to know which way to go on this. And you said, God, I'm not going to need to guess. God, that you would say, this is the way, walk in it. God, Jesus, would you do that? I'm your sheep. You're my shepherd. I need to hear your voice right now. God, show me. Speak to me. I have a key decision. I need to make a decision. Which way do I go? Let me hear your voice. This is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. God, I'm going to stand on that promise. Those are two action steps, and I have a third one, but I want to again take you back to our passage. Chapter 16 of Acts looks very different because of the Holy Spirit's work in it. If Paul was not led by the Holy Spirit, if he treated the Holy Spirit like the forgotten member of the Trinity, not only would the rest of Acts look different, but so would the rest of the world in our country. But this isn't ultimately about Paul and what he did back then. It's what God wants to do today. So third question for reflection is, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? None, some, or all. And this is not open mic confessional, just between you and God. What difference, if you're honest, does the Holy Spirit make in your life? First group would say, you know what, if I'm honest, grab a cup of coffee. So, you know, if we're being honest, I would say the Holy Spirit has no difference, makes no difference that he's a forgotten member of the Trinity. That if you were Paul back in Acts 16, you would have walked right past Timothy and you would have went as far east as to China. That's your first group. Second group, if you were asked that question, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? You'd answer, some. That you feel his leading sometimes, that you operate using his strength once in a while, but other times it's just you. You rely on your own strength, your own power, your abilities. That's the second group. Third group, if you're asked, this is not, you want to be boastful, but you say, if you want to be honest, the Holy Spirit makes all the difference in my life, all the difference. That He leads me, He guides me, He gives me strength, He is my power source. What difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? None, some, or all. And whichever group you're in, my hope is all of you would want more. That you would want more. You'd want the Holy Spirit to guide you more. So again, when you go from none, that's an easy one. He guides you a little bit. If He guides you some of the time, some more of the time. If He guides you all the time, even more all the time. Because He probably doesn't really guide you all the time. That was like Jesus, and we're not Jesus. And so it's all with an asterisk. Sometimes I tell jokes and nobody laughs at them. I don't know. It's like, which means it wasn't really a joke. That's okay. Got to work on my delivery more. But honestly, whichever group you're in, wherever you're at in your spiritual journey, that you would want more. You would want the Holy Spirit to fill you more, more often. That you would bear more fruit of the Spirit, more gifts of the Spirit. That you'd want Him to guide not just some of your thoughts and some of your words and some of your actions some of the time, but you would want Him truly and honestly just surrender, say, God, I want, just my life is yours. I surrender everything to you. I'm your vessel. Fill me. I'm emptying myself up. Out. Fill me up. And so a great prayer for all of us to pray, it's two words. More Lord. More Lord. God, by the power of your Spirit, I want you to guide me more than you do. I want to operate more using your power, not for my glory, but for yours. I want to be more filled with your Spirit. Bear more fruit. More, Lord. More, Lord. As a Christian living in America, we take for granted that the founding fathers of our country had Christian roots. And while we take that for granted, the reason it's the case, it doesn't go back to 1492. It goes back about 1,400 years before 1492. It goes back to this text in Acts chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul headed west into Europe instead of east into Asia. And what's interesting is Paul, when you read the text, actually wanted to go east until the Holy Spirit showed up. And so I've been asking the question, and I've asked a number of times, of what if Paul treated the Holy Spirit as a forgotten member of the Trinity? How would America, how would the world have been different? And then what if we ignore the Holy Spirit in our lives? But a better question than that one, a better question than what if we ignore the Holy Spirit in our lives, is what if we don't? And that's a better question. What if we don't ignore the Holy Spirit? And my hope and prayer is that we would be that kind of church. We would be a church where the Holy Spirit guides us more and more than He does right now. A church that's more and more Spirit-filled. A church that bears more and more fruit of the Spirit and functions more and more in the gifts of the Spirit. A church where the Holy Spirit leads and guides all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our actions. That we would be that kind of church. And if we are that kind of church, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have just changed America. He'll change our church. And He can. And I believe He will. He is. Not just changing our location of where we're going to meet on Sundays, but transform us from the inside out. Let me pray. God, I thank you for all you're doing. And I simply ask for more. More of you. That we would be just available to you, to be used by you. And then we would transform our country once again. By your love flowing through us to everyone we encounter. God, give us eyes to see, ears to hear how you're leading us. And may we say yes and head whatever direction you lead. We love you. We love you, Lord.